The sermon for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. The sermon is entitled, In Your Glory. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks. And they said to him, Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. In your glory. This is definitely an interesting request from the disciples. And I say interesting because prior to this request, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. Now this is the glory of God. The glory of God is the death and resurrection of our Lord, the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. This is the glory of God, the incarnation, the death and resurrection. And there the disciples heard these very words. But yet immediately after this, they proceed to ask this very question. Let us sit, one on your left and one on your right. You know, the disciples were asking about position. Position was very important to them because position indicated a certain power, a certain authority, a certain place. Well, it reminds us that they still did not understand the gravity of Jesus' words in regards to his own death and resurrection. And it's interesting because we see this time and time again. When Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, there's always some sort of detour or interruption from the disciples. After all, Mark 8, as we know, as Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, Peter responds and rebukes Jesus for these, what seemingly was, preposterous words. I mean, after all, this was their Lord, and according to the glory of man, suffering was far from them. This would be no part of them. And there Jesus would say, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Yet this is the glory of God, that this needs to happen. Again, in Mark chapter 9, he foretold his death and resurrection again. Immediately thereafter, what were the disciples doing? They were arguing amongst themselves who was the greatest. Think about that. Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, and now they are majoring in minors. And they're not even minors. They're less than minors. They're minoring in more minors, right? Aren't they? You know, Jesus gives the radical word, yet they're sideswiped and detoured by all these things, and that is the glory of man. And today in the gospel, it is no different. You know, Jesus, you know, as he just foretold his death and resurrection, they were caught up. I don't get to say this a lot. I love this phrase. In their own delusion of grandeur. Yeah, they were caught up in their own glory. As if they could have this glory if they just had this position. But in this very moment, they failed to see what Jesus was speaking about and what this glory really entailed. You know, Jesus knew their hearts. After all, in the gospel text, we see it today. He knew their hearts, and he says, yes, like the rulers of the Gentiles, how they lord it over the people, exercising their authority among them. And Jesus quickly follows that up with, and it shall not be so among you. In other words, he's saying, this is not the glory that I'm talking about. I know you, friends, disciples, think that this is what I'm talking about. You think this place is of, you know, a position of authority and power where your pride can be put on a pedestal. No. Little do you know what this entails to be at my right and left. And that is the tension of our text today. The glory of God versus the glory of man. You know, the disciples loved the glory of man. It's of no surprise. This is the nature of man. This is the nature of sinners. This is the nature that we have ever since the fall. Right? The desire for position and power and status and reputation in this world. Pride. Whereas the glory of God, what is that glory? It is to be the slave of all, to be a servant, to face suffering head on. That is far from what the glory of man desires. To be brought low, the glory of God says, that is far from what the glory of man seeks out. After all, the servant is the one who is least of all. For the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. It's Jesus, the suffering servant. This is the glory of God. Of course, we know this. Yet as we live in the world, just like the disciples in our flesh, we very well know the great temptation in the glory of man. You know, we see the pedestal and we tell ourselves, yes, I should build that up. Glorifying ourselves, infatuated with our pride. You know, the pride that from there flows the umbrella, our self-serving ambitions, the never-ending pursuit to fill our cups with our own self-made pride and reputation and achievements and accolades, and of course, friends, accolades and achievements are not evil in themselves. They're good, right? Accolades are great. They show us that we are actually ready and equipped for the God-given talents that we have to help and serve sacrificially our neighbors. That there is much good work in front of us in what God has given us to do. Yet the great temptation is to use these accolades for our own vain glory. You know, Jesus foretells the greatest work that is given by his grace, given to man. Yet the disciples were so ingrained in their own glory. That's what their concern was. All about me, me, and even more me. And this is of no surprise, of course, right? This has happened ever since the fall. The devil, in other words, would say, greatness! Greatness can be had apart from God. And that greatness can be had if you eat from this tree, the devil said. The glory of man is far more important than the glory of God, the devil says. No need for the glory of God. You have yourself. You have your own glory. And that far exceeds anything that God can give you. This is the temptation that we face. And you all know that this is pure rubbish. You do. These fiery darts that he slings at each and every one of you, you know that they are foolish. Yet in our sinful nature, in our glory, in our own vain glory, how true and sweet they become. You know, this is the deception, my friends, and I hope you are able to discern this in your life. I mean, we live in a world that is all about pride. It's all about pedestaling ourselves in front of man. Because our nature, the glory of ourselves, is to be above God. Is to be above the first commandment. Because the nature of glory is of self. It's all about me. That is our mission statement, isn't it? Because who doesn't want it to be about ourselves? We're always about ourselves. You know, I look at social media. I think it's always a pastor non sequitur moment there. Because I think this can be, I'm not saying that it's all about social media, but it can be an analogy to the glory of man. You know, social media can be a painting of a picture that builds people up to build up their own glory, to build up their own self-serving reputation amongst their peers, to show everyone how good it feels and how that pride is being broadcast to all the world, how great this looks. Look at me. The glory of man thrives in themselves. Self-sustaining, self-trusting, self-preserving, self-promoting, self, and yes, even more self. And you know this. So infatuated we are with ourselves that our service to our neighbor becomes self-serving. Selfish ambition. When God calls us to love and serve neighbor, oh no, what's in it for me? How will this help me? How will this gain me the earthly securities that I desire to fill my covetous heart? How will this fill my cup that is of the glory of man? This is the greatness that the world is teaching you, that you are your own little greatest God. Well, not really. The world says you are God, right? Not your little God. The world says you are God. Friends, no one is immune. Each and every one of us battles this temptation of being great in ourselves, hungering for the glory of man. What is it for you? You know, what position are you looking for? What pride are you? Power are you coveting? What is capturing your heart and mind this day when it comes to the glory of man? You know, friends, you know, the little gods, they promise so many things. And the little gods say, I will give you the greatest things. But friends, little gods give you little things that are fleeting. They're not that great. But yet in our sinful nature, we see that they are. You know, Jesus shows us today, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. This is the glory of God. It's the exact opposite of who we are in sin. This is greatness, the everlasting glory of God. For the glory of man has no power, no play, no place. It's an illusion. It's a deception. It's a fleeting desire that never fulfills. And there is Christ's glory that, rather than lording it over you, it is Jesus who is the one true Lord, who became flesh and dwelt among us, that by his glory he became the servant of all. Jesus, God in the flesh, being the slave of all, that very slave, the servant who went to the cross, the sacrifice for your sins. That even for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Friends, this is the glory of God. To give his life, to lay down his life, to pay the ransom price. You know, ransom assumes what? That we cannot free ourselves. That we are stuck in our sin. We are separated from God ever since the fall. We are bound. The only way the ransom is met is by the one outside of you, and that is the blood of Christ. The payment is not of silver or gold, not your merits or self-righteousness, but only Christ. This is the glory of God for you. Yes, the cost was immense, deeper than any of our spiritually bankrupt pockets can afford. Yet this is the glory of God. Friends, the glory of man does not seek this out. But the glory of God does. And that is Jesus who seeks you out. Who takes on the cup of wrath. The very suffering of the cross. Who takes on the baptism. Bearing the sins of the world unto his own. Onto his own. To his very death. This is the glory of God. Jesus serves you because you need to be served. For the cost of your sins is the payment price of his very own blood. You know, when we speak of place and position and power and authority, where is that for Jesus? It is very, well, seemingly was a defeated one at the cross, but no, there Jesus was to be in the perfect place. And that is to die for sinners, to die for each and every one of you. To pay the ransom price. Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. You know, the disciples had much learning to do. But after the resurrection, how bold they would face this cup. This life of suffering, they went head on. Many would die for the faith. Many would die for the truth. Because at the end of the day, they rested upon their perfect position, their perfect place, under the power of the Lord's resurrection. This was the place, and they had it all, and they died for the truth. They died under his everlasting name. Friends, you too. I know the Christian life has many challenges, many crosses to bear, many sufferings to face, many challenges to call you to live sacrificially. Yet remember those words, in your glory. That we live in his name, that we live under his grace, that we live, move, and have our being because of what he has done for us. And all the many hats we wear in our vocations, what great opportunity that is to love and serve in the joy that he has given to us. Friends, you are not living in your own spotlight. You're not living trying to build yourself up. No, you are built. You are rooted in this very foundation of Christ alone. And there in his glory, you go. In your glory, O Lord, we rest on your grace. In your glory, O Lord, your word endures forever. In your glory, O Lord, you have paid the ransom price through the blood of your only begotten Son. In your glory, O Lord, you have set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And thus, in his glory, you go, forgiven, redeemed, and paid for. For as it reads in the Catechism, not by silver or gold, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, so that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity. This is most certainly true. In your glory, O Lord, we go. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sunday sermon from Faith Lutheran Church in Moore Park, California. For more information, visit us on the web at faithmoorpark.com.